For those of you who may not know me, my name is Peter Gordon. I'm privileged to be a member of this church. And I'm also privileged to be the leader of a small group, which during the summer when you preach, especially if people find out in advance that you are to preach, can be very reassuring because you expect at least the members of your small group to attend. I'm also one of the leaders of our church slow pitch softball team, the Westview Wonders. And I see many of the team players here this morning. Those who are not need not apply for next year. If you have your Bibles, and I trust you're one of those people that brings your Bibles to church, it's the Word of God. Open with me, please, to John chapter 13. The New Testament book of John chapter 13. If you came this morning hoping to hear some more of the excellent teaching from our senior pastor, Dale Midgett, you may be disappointed. But you know, you can't win them all. Take, for example, the Westview Wonders. We lost both our games yesterday. And those of you who did not pray for us prior to our Saturday games, I'll be meeting you at the back of the sanctuary following the service. On June 25th, 1967, the song written by John Lennon of the Beatles fame was first performed. The Beatles told us, "All you need is love. All you need is love." And you should be very grateful that I am not going to sing it for you this morning, but the lyrics go something like this. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. Love, love, love. All you need, apparently, is love. All you need is love. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. The Beatles told us all about love, but they never told us where to find it, or more precisely for the Christian, who to find it in. We live in our current culture with a new love. And I suggest to you this morning by way of introduction that the new love is like. The new love is like. The I we love has subtly and greatly grown from persons to include possessions, houses, cars, toys, activities, sports, leisure, hobbies, style, renos, fashion, music, arts, contemporary or traditional. We've come to apply the word love not to relationships, but to things and activities. Love has become blatantly superficial. Love has become whatever our culture or us says it is. You have a sermon outline in your bulletin this morning, and even if you're a person who doesn't take notes, that sermon outline is an encouragement for you because you can tell how far you are from the finish. A few people who know me said to me before the service this morning that they've been praying for me this week. You know, I find that encouraging when the preacher knows he's being prayed for. But someone just during the worship service said to me even a better, more encouraging thing. Peter, I didn't wear my watch today. Isn't that a blessing? On the back wall of one church, there's a clock on the left-hand side facing the preacher. It says, "Preach the word." On the right-hand side of the clock facing the preacher is, "The time is short." Not this morning. Not when we start at 10 o'clock, and not when my dear friend did not bring her watch. Let's read together John chapter 13. And the background of the passage is Christ's farewell discourse to his disciples, his last teachings to his disciples and to us. And the farewell discourse in John covers John 13 pretty well through to John 17. And this is a very, very poignant and serious time that Christ is spending with his disciples shortly before his trial, his death, by cruel crucifixion for them and for us and for their sins. Reading from the Word of God from John 13. You know what? I've had a little bit of pastoral experience, and I'm just having a little bit of trouble. Oh, that's because I'm in Luke. There we go. It's helpful to have an MDiv. You learn all kinds of wonderful things. In verse 31, therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of God glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It was Passover feast time, and the Jews at the time of Christ were celebrating God's deliverance of them, the Jewish people, from Egypt. And Christ was speaking to his disciples, and he gave us this new commandment at the Passover time. You remember Passover? That was when the Jewish people were rescued from Egypt, from Almighty God, to become a new nation, into a new land, his people, to live godly, holy lives, to reflect his holiness. God, through Moses, gave them the Ten Commandments, so they would live differently in the new promised land from other nations and reflect his holiness. Now, in addition to those Ten Commandments, we have a complementary commandment. A new commandment, and the word new in the original language of the Bible is emphatic. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. As one theologian said, it's a new commandment because it's a commandment calling us to love based upon Jesus' love for us. The theme this morning, the big idea, is this: that Christians are to really love one another. The Christians are to really love one another. And firstly, we are called to love one another specifically. Look at the first part of verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Who is the you? Christ was talking to his disciples then, to his followers, and to us today, believing Christians. Christians who have been born again by the Spirit of God through the shed blood of Christ on the cross, having their sins forgiven. He's calling us, as his followers, we are the ones. To love is the word agape, a deep, genuine, sincere, selfless love. It's consistent, it's constant, it's seeking the best for someone else. It isn't that I love your dress, or I love your home, or I love this or that piece of music. It's love, because true love only exists in relationships. And if you don't take anything else home this morning, take that home. The true love only exists in relationships. Love is not lust, sex, and our sex-saturated media society. Love is not like conditional acceptance. We live in a world of like, thought of as love. Love is not a feeling. But you know, there's a clarification needed here. Now, I have some good news for you. Sometimes when we as Christians are called to love one another, we sort of subconsciously think that that means we have to like one another. You know, and this is going to be a shock to some of you, so please hold on to your seat the best you can. But there have been a few people I have met that don't like me. I know, I don't get it either. I do not get it. And one day they'll repent and they'll stand before the Lord. But loving is not liking. Amen? Because God does not create us, then force us to act in some kind of warped way where we have to pretend that we act against the way He created us. There are certain kinds of food that I don't like. There are certain kinds of things I don't like. And there are certain people that I don't naturally gravitate to. I wouldn't say that I like them. But this isn't about like, it's far more profound than that. It's about love. It's a relief. We are called to love each other, not necessarily like each other. It's a relief, but it's also a requirement. We are required by our Lord and Savior to love one another. Love one another who? As I mentioned, fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have been born again by the Holy Spirit, having repented of their sins, having by faith trusted Jesus' blood on the cross to pay the penalty and forgive their sins and grant them complete forgiveness and a new eternal life. And if you're a Christian this morning, you can say, Amen. This commandment is not about loving your neighbors. This commandment is not about loving your enemies. Christ talks about that. We're only talking about loving one another this morning. But loving one another, what does that mean? It means those Christians in your circle of life. When Christ was talking to the 12 disciples, He was talking to them in a poignant, intimate teaching time. And He was talking to people who live together in a circle of life. We are not called to love every Christian in a deep, practical way. That's impossible. Yesterday on the Ball Diamond, I was talking to the catcher of the opposing team, and she told me she was from Center Street Church. I turned to her and said, when are you guys going to get a good preacher there? It's only about 15,000 to 20,000 people who are members of that church, and Henry Shore is noted as a great expository preacher. And she smiled and went back to playing the baseball game. But I am not called to love all the Christians at Center Street Church. That's impractical. But I am called to love you, and you are called to love me, and we are called to love each other in our circle of life. Amen? It's a practical, realistic command. God doesn't give us impractical, irrelevant, theoretical commands. It's supposed to be real and accountable in our lives. It's a relief. Our family, our church, our friends, our small group. I'm also the leader of a small group, many of whom are here this morning, which continually amazes me that they are still coming to the group and I'm the leader. Years ago, a television interviewer asked Ruth Bell Graham, the late wife of the renowned Billy Graham, theologian, evangelist, great pastor. And she asked him, you know, Ruth, with all the pressure of your husband's high-profile career, with the many, many times he hasn't been at home, and you've had to raise those five kids by yourself, and all the frustrations and the media attention and all the pressure, have you ever thought of divorcing Billy? Ruth looked square at the television interviewer and said, divorce, no. Murder, yes. You know, Ruth Bell Graham did not like any of the aforementioned realities in her husband's life. But she loved God, and she loved Billy, and she would not divorce him. Christians are to really love one another. Secondly, we are to love one another sacrificially. Look at the next part of verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Even as I have loved you. What was the context? Judas had just left a few moments before and gone out to betray his Lord. Jesus Christ even loved Judas, and Jesus Christ loved all of them. He loves us, and he was going to the cross in a few days to die a substitutionary sacrificial death for us. And he calls us to love one another as he has loved us sacrificially. That means it's love that costs. It means that you and I give up something. We sacrifice something. It might be our time. It might be our money. It might be our comfort or convenience. It might be personal habits, preferences, or priorities. It's love that costs. Christ's teaching in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes said, if one person asked you to go with him 1 mile, go with him two. Don't limit your love to the minimum. A number of years ago, I pastored a church in Manitoba. Our church administrator, our administrative assistant, was a man named Bob Hill. There's a few interesting things about Bob Hill. One was he was retired from the military, and he was a volunteer church administrator assistant. We were a small church, and we couldn't afford to have someone paid. And so Bob Hill came in every morning from Monday to Friday and volunteered. That in itself is good, but not particularly unusual. Bob Hill came to church driving a van. A big, not one of those minivans, one of those real vans. The ones that have, you know, seat about 10, 12 people kind of thing, that size. And he drove one of those every day to church. And you'd say, well, why would Bob do that? It was only him. His wife didn't come with him. And every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning, he would drive that van all alone to church. That's kind of a gas guzzler, a big vehicle for one person. Well, Bob did that as a volunteer. Because Bob needed what was in the back of that van. In the back of that van was a little mechanical crane, a hoist. And it had a scooter chair attached to it. You see, Bob had MS. Bob couldn't really walk more than maybe 10, 15 feet. And so Bob would drive that van with his MS and that scooter chair every weekday morning to church to volunteer. You see, as I mentioned, Bob Hill, there's going to be a little picture on the screen. But that wasn't all about Bob Hill. Bob Hill knew that I liked chocolate. And Bob Hill, every morning, almost every morning on the way to church, would drive his van to Tim Hortons. He would get out, stumble into that restaurant, get a couple of donuts, stumble back into the car, drive the car to the church parking lot, sort of creep down the side of the van, open the van doors, drop the scooter, drive up the ramp to the front door of the church, wrestle with the front door as he had to move it around to get a scooter to open the door to drive in. For many years, I had on my study wall, in the pastor's study in that church, I had a paper bag like that. Because that, my dear friends, is unconditional love. That's loving each other as Christ has loved us. In preparation for the sermon this morning, I went looking for that bag. Shame on me.
I can't seem to find it. That's Bob Hill. Because he loved me. He just sort of liked all my sermons. Didn't just sort of like some aspects of my personality. But he loved me. He loved me as Christ loved him. And he loved the church. Many of you are doing really well. Keep it up. Others of us need to go the first mile and then the second one. God will show you. Just ask him. He'll show you how to love those in your circle of life. And remember, as you love those unconditionally and sacrificially, remember to love those who cannot repay you. Luke 14, we haven't got time to turn there, but Luke 14 tells you about that. Write it down. Thirdly, Christians are to love one another seriously. In the third part of verse 34, that you would also love one another. It's a repetition from the first part of the verse. It's the same word again, agape. It's a new commandment. He's repeating. Again, that you love one another. And again, the word new is emphatic in the original Greek. It's ahead of the verb. Whenever the Greeks want to emphasize something, they put those words ahead of the verb for emphasis. A new commandment. You are now going to love. I'm calling you to as I have loved you. I have a friend named Mike. And I sure hope he's not here this morning, although I invited him. Mike is what I call my computer guru. Mike has had the unfortunate experience of being my friend for 14 years. And 2 years after I first got a computer, in 1999, Mike became my computer guru in 2001. He met me at a Bible study, and he is just bewailing the day he met me that night. Mike and I have developed over the years a very sarcastic relationship. We give each other a hard time. We sort of pick on one another and really, you know, give each other a lot of razzing. One day I said to Mike, Mike, you better be nice to me, because if the Lord looking down on us right now sees we can't get along, he's going to make you my roommate in heaven. Mike, quoting not from Scripture, which was Mike's failure, but quoting from the Constitution of Canada, said, no, God would not do that because he doesn't believe in cruel or unusual punishment. A year or so later, Mike and his wife Judy were looking for a new home. They met with a real estate agent, and the real estate agent said, I have two homes to show you tonight. One's in Hidden Valley, and one's in Country Hills. They went and saw the home in Hidden Valley here in north central Calgary, a little bit east of where we are. There's a couple of really godly people who are members of this church who live in Hidden Valley. And you're about to find out in a minute who they are. And then they went to see the home in Country Hills. My wife and I used to live in Country Hills. And Mike's been to our home many times. As the real estate agent drove onto Country Hills Crescent, Mike said, this sounds familiar. This looks familiar. This looks very familiar. And he was just shocked. This is where Peter Gordon lives, three houses away. The house that the real estate agent was showing him was three doors down from mine. He bowed his head in the back seat of the real estate agent's car and said, Lord, I get it. I'll be nice to him. That you love one another as I have loved you. When you stand before the Lord, Christian brother and sister, your sins have been forgiven, but you're going to be given account of your life and your rewards are going to be doled out to you in heaven. One of the questions that God is going to ask you, I believe, in the person of Jesus Christ, who you'll stand before all alone, will be, did you love your Christian brother and sister as I have loved you? Fourthly, Christians are to love one another spectacularly. And that's a true word. I looked it up in the dictionary. Christians are to love one another spectacularly witnessing. Verse 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The first two words in verse 35 are the words "by this." And again, they're emphatic. They're ahead of the verb in the Greek language, which means by this. It's vital. By this. To show our love for one another, it's vital if we're going to prove our relationship to Jesus. If is not automatic. It's a daily renewal of our love for Christ in us for others. We can't make a commitment today to love one another as Christ loved the church and not expect that we can do it on our own. We have to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And remember, it's not like, what a relief. But it's love as by the power of the Holy Spirit. God never calls you to do something that He will not give you the power to do. It's a present tense to keep on loving all men, all people. It will be spectacular, and the kinds of people impacted will be your unbelieving family members. Those seekers in our church neighborhood who come to our special events, and one's coming next month, our fall kickoff. Your neighbors, your co-workers, our love for one another is to be a spectacular, blazing, fiery light in this dark world. Raymond Brown, the accomplished New Testament scholar, says that very soon after the time of John's gospel, the impact made by Christian love became a standard argument for the superiority of Christianity. People will only find true love in Jesus Christ and in the life of His followers. You too can be a Christian who loves spectacularly. Are you sure about that, Peter? Yes, I am. Some of you know a man named Saul. Saul was a fighter who, after he experienced the transforming forgiveness and love of Jesus Christ, became a man named Paul. And he became a lover of Jesus and others. Saul, the non-Christian, the fighter, the angry, hating person who hated Christians, was holding the clothes of those who stoned Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Then the fighter became a lover. And if Christ can change the Apostle Paul and give him love, He can change you and I every day. Christians are to really love one another. And as we close, there are five things. Five things to kind of pack it up and take it home. First of all, A would be awareness. Look for opportunities and pray for opportunities. They are all around us. And I'm not saying you're not doing it. I'm just saying if you're doing it, keep on doing it. And if you need to do it more, ask the Holy Spirit to give you His power and He will, and His strength and His guidance. We need to be aware of opportunities to show Christ's love in your circle of life. I'm not calling you to love the people at Center Street Church, although I'm sure they're very nice people there, unless they're in your circle of life. Isn't it wonderful how God's commands are so practical and so doable? First of all, awareness. Secondly, actions. We love one another really by actions. Not thoughts, not feelings, but actions. A number of years ago in the same church in Manitoba, a very prominent city personality and church personality passed away. And it was a very difficult situation because the person was kind of a member of our church and in a sense was kind of estranged from life and fellowship in the church. And it was kind of an awkward situation, but he died quite before we would say he should have.
And his wife, of course, was grieving, and it was difficult because she was kind of estranged from the church too, and it was kind of awkward, and people were trying to reach out, but they were impacted by the death, and they were impacted by the estrangement, and it was just kind of a really awkward situation all around. And one person said to me, you know, I wanted to go over and do something for Jan, the widow, but I didn't know what to do, I didn't know what to say, and so I really felt for her, but I didn't do anything. And somehow I think that person missed out on a beautiful opportunity to love. And I turned to that person. I realized that not everybody is as voice activated as I am. And some people find it rather hard to say the right thing. I said, you know, all you need to do is bake a cake. You can bake a cake. All you need to do is bake a cake, go over and knock on Jan's door and say, Jan, I'm so sorry for your loss. Here's something. I'm praying for you. So simple, yet so profound. Actions. They can be physical assistance, your presence in a situation, emotional and spiritual encouragement, prayer support. Third, C, communication. We as Christians need to avoid the whole idea of friendly fire, or shall we say, not so friendly fire. Avoid the negative when you're talking about someone, the gossip, the trash talk. This church is a wonderful example, I think, of very little gossip and very little trash talk. We have a wonderful unified church, and praise God for that. But avoid the negative. Speak the truth in love. Speak it tenderly. When you need to speak the truth, speak it in love and speak it tenderly. And involve in communication, encourage people by giving them a call, a text, an email, a card. You're not going to get a lot of texts from me. It takes me about half an hour to compose a text on my smartphone. See, my phone's very smart, I'm very dumb. So it's very, very hard for me. If you get a text from me, you've reached the inner circle Peter Gordon's life, and you should be very concerned about that. But call, text, email, whatever. Tell people you love them and mean it. D, forgiveness and patience. I want you to think about with me for a moment. Envision a circle in your mind. Those in our circle of life. Envision a perfect circle. And sometimes those in our circle of life can be, to use an old-fashioned word, squares. Really square. Like nerdy. Like annoying. Like really out of fashion. Like really square. And you know what the problem with a square object in a perfect circle is? That the squares have corners on them, and they can rub us the wrong way. And we need, if we're going to love each other unconditionally, to practice forgiveness and patience. We are to be tender-heartedly forgiving one another, just as Christ, God in Christ, has forgiven us. So be forgiving. Be patient. My small group, they've learned forgiveness and patience up the yin-yang. We are the best small group for forgiveness and patience because they have to deal with me. The last thing, loving one another as Christ has loved us, that's priority number two. You'll never, ever, ever, ever be able to do it unless you have priority number one already looked after. And that is, you knowing the love of Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. And once Jesus Christ transforms you with his love flows through you. Who is he talking to? His disciples. And this morning, I've been talking to Christians. And there may be someone here, a Christian who needs to be encouraged. And I'm going to, first of all, talk to you Christians as I close and say this.
You never lose by loving. You never lose by loving. And when we get to heaven, we'll report to our Lord. He'll ask us, did you love my children the way I loved you as my child? But in conclusion, there's a C for Christians and there's an S for seekers. If you're someone here this morning who's not sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, through your repentance from sin, through your turning away from sin and trusting in Christ to forgive all your sins and become your Lord and Savior and give you the guarantee of heaven, eternal life, and an abundant life on this earth, you can know Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior. You can go and visit at the First Steps booth to talk about the cross. Look at the far wall and see the cross. The first steps are on the left of the cross. The next steps are after you become a Christian, going forward. You can come and see us at the First Steps table. Perhaps you need prayer this morning for the needs in your life, and you already are a Christian. I would encourage you to see the elders to my left and to your right. That you love one another as I have loved you. You know what? Be ready. One day we'll give an account. In the meantime, it can be a blessed experience to share that deep agape love that we love one another. Will you commit to it by the grace of Jesus Christ? Amen.